Good morning, everybody. Like Cole said, Aaron is in Colorado and he's at a retreat. So you guys get me or stuck with me or something today. So no, I'm grateful to be here. Thankful for the opportunity to share a little bit with you guys today. But before I get started, I would like to pray for Aaron real quick while he's gone. Father God, we are grateful that Aaron gets a chance to go to a retreat and get refreshed and just see you in different ways, God. I pray for he and Dexter both. I pray during this time off that they are even surprised by your leading and how they see and hear you this week. So we pray your travel mercies over them, and we pray for them while they get a little time just to spend with you and get refreshed. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've spoke before to you guys about how the dining room table at our house is kind of a gathering place for us, especially in the evening time. It's a time for us to catch up on each other's day. My wife and my daughter, we all share, how our day went and what went on during the day, what was good, maybe what was challenging. Our daughter likes to spring a fun fact on us during that time. It's usually something that maybe she learned at school or maybe something she read in a book. The categories can range from facts about animals to facts about the human body and anything in between with her. So since you all asked so nicely, yes, I will share some of those fun facts with you now. Fun fact, did you know that Dalmatians are not born with spots? Their spots don't appear until after about a week of age. Our daughter's currently in the market for a new dog, and I think she's getting tired of us saying, well, we're thinking about it. She's kind of she's not taking that for an answer anymore. Fun fact, did you know you're going to be taller in the morning than at night? As the day goes on, the cartilage in your bones compress during the day. Fun fact, did you know your body has more than 600 muscles? Do you know which muscle is the strongest? A muscle called the masseter muscle, better known as the jaw muscle. One more. Fun fact, did you know that the average person breathes 17,000 breaths per day or 6 million breaths per year? So everyone right now, real quick, take a deep breath. I really needed to do that right now. You just breathe one breath out of 17,000 you'll take today. That's an amazing fact. Praise the Lord. I think we can all agree that breathing is an essential part of our everyday life. When we inhale, air enters our lungs, and oxygen from that air moves to our blood. At the same time, carbon dioxide moves from our blood to the lungs and is exhaled or breathed out. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. This story is the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel is maybe the most powerful image in the Bible of what it looks like to be made alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives some other powerful images as well of what it looks like to be made alive in Christ. In John 14:6, Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so show how we can know the way. And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 10:10, Jesus presents himself as the good shepherd and says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The book of Ezekiel was written around 571 BC, a few years before the Babylonians conquered the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and disrespected everything that the Jewish people called holy. The Jewish people felt like God had turned his back on them, but in all reality, they rebelled and worshiped idols long before the king Nebuchadnezzar pilfered their temple. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, he was kind of an interesting character, to say the least. He once preached a sermon while laying on his side for 390 days. And you guys thought Aaron's sermons were long. Ezekiel spent the earlier chapters of the book rebuking the Israelites for their sinful ways. Ezekiel was someone who spoke the truth. The people of Israel didn't always want to hear it, but they certainly didn't need a false prophet speaking to them. Does anybody have the friend that speaks truth to you no matter what? Maybe you're that friend that speaks truth to someone. I think we all need someone like that in our lives. Even though the people of Israel are in a state of misery and ruins and restoration seemed impossible, Ezekiel proclaims a blessing over the land and the hope of a new beginning. Ezekiel 36, 8 through 12 says, but you, mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will cause many people to live on you. Yes, all of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of people and animals living on you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people, Israel, to live on you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. You will never again deprive them of their children. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones came to Ezekiel after God had directed him to prophesy the rebirth of Israel. The people of Israel were like dry bones, a dead nation. There was absolutely no sign of life or recovery. The nation was deprived of its land, king, and temple. It had been divided and disrespected for so long that restoration seemed out of the question. Valleys often signify a challenging time or a low point in our life. Psalm 23 speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. Certain versions refer to it as the valley of tears. The first thing that the Spirit of God did with Ezekiel was show him the valley, and then he proceeded to show him the detail. Verse 2 says, "He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." Ezekiel not only sees a large number of bones, he was close enough to identify the bones. Have you ever thought about what's dry in your life? Perhaps some things that were once full of life are currently dead. Maybe it's a dream, a relationship, a business. Maybe you've encountered disappointment after disappointment. The dry bones that God shows Ezekiel have no hint of life, no reason for hope, just thousands upon thousands of dry bones scattered over a valley floor. This image reminds me of the opening scene in the 1991 sci-fi movie Judgment Day, the sequel to the original Arnold Schwarzenegger movie The Terminator. Nothing like a good Terminator reference on a Sunday morning. The movie opens with a scene of a city skyline, busy traffic and children playing on the playground. As the scene continues, the sound of children's voices die out, followed by a flash forward to the year 2029 in Los Angeles. The world has become a wasteland of wrecked cars and destroyed buildings and areas filled with skeletons and skulls. The voice of Sarah Connor, played by Linda Hamilton, narrates, 3 billion human lives ended on August 29, 1997. The survivors of the nuclear fire called the War, Judgment Day, only lived to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. The next scene shows a foot of a metallic android smashing a skull on the ground. Then a battle ensues between the human guerrilla troops and the far more superior robotic army. Robotic tanks are shown driving over skulls and bones, easily crushing them beneath their tracks. This is an incredibly powerful scene showing an eerily dark, overwhelming, and unforgettable apocalyptic setting. Have you ever found yourself in a valley? Maybe your hope has been lost because of a dark situation. I must think that when God shows Ezekiel the valley of the dry bones, Ezekiel must have felt total despair, like the opening scene of the Judgment Day movie. Probably minus the android robots. In verse 3, after the Spirit of God brought Ezekiel into the valley, he asked him a strange question. Son of man, can these bones live? Doesn't that seem a little bit odd that the higher authority on life or death would ask a question like that? Ezekiel's response is respectful of God's mysterious power. He says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. By responding that way, Ezekiel positions himself as a subject to the authority of God and submissive to his ability. I appreciate Ezekiel's honesty. You can sense his feeling of powerlessness. You can almost picture Ezekiel looking around and shaking his head at the overwhelming feeling of it all. God's response back to Ezekiel is to speak out. He commands him to prophesy to the bones and to speak to what he sees in front of him. God says to speak life into this dead situation. Speak the impossible to become possible. He proclaims in verse 4, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There's power in declaring the word of the Lord over your situation and circumstance. In John chapter 11, verse 43, Jesus stood in front of a tomb containing the body of Lazarus, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. What if courage is all you need to speak new life into your dead situation? You might think, what if nothing happens? But what if it does? You may be the only Bible someone ever reads. You may be the only prophet someone ever hears. This summer, my wife and daughter and I, we spent a few days at Big Cedar Lodge. I don't know if you guys know where Big Cedar at is, but it's just south of Branson. Beautiful place. It sits at the foothills of the Ozarks on Table Rock Lake. It's one of our favorite places to go. You drive down a windy road, and beautiful trees line the road. And as you get closer to the lake, the cabins come into view. The wilderness setting is amazing. Near Big Cedar, there's a restaurant called Arnie's Barn. Arnie's Barn sits back at the top of the windy road at a location appropriately called Top of the Rock. The history of the restaurant is that it was constructed of 150-year-old timbers that are from an old barn in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The barn was carefully disassembled and successfully relocated and reconstructed at the Top of the Rock in Missouri. This old building that sat for so many years and was left baking in the hot sun was now resurrected and restored. The bones of the barn had life in them once again. Verse 6 says, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Breath is the one thing that separates all living things from all the things that are not. All living things need to breathe to sustain life. We like to plant flowers in a vegetable garden at our house. We do this every year. We like to be outside and see things grow. Ashley loves to do this. I'm just a helper. She has the green thumb. The extreme heat, though, this summer and the dry conditions, they made it tough. It seems like we just couldn't water enough. Everything hung on, but definitely didn't thrive like it had in the past. Finally, around the 1st of September or so, the hot temperature started to drop a bit, and we did get a little bit of rain for some relief. The flowers seem to come back to life, and it's almost like they could kind of start breathing again. Even plants require breath in a sense, as they process the elements differently, but still require a certain environment to be able to exist and grow. In verse 7, as Ezekiel prophesies, all of a sudden there's a rattling sound across the valley. The bones start to come together. They start to creak and reassemble. All the parts of each body are reformed to their original state, joint on joint, bone on bone. The rattling sounds like faith. It sounds like hope. It sounds like love. It sounds like courage. It sounds like God's reassurance and promise. It sounds like life and life abundant. But something is still missing, the breath of life. Before life comes and before breath enters, the body must come together. What has been separated, disconnected, and alone must be reconnected to the body and be whole. In the same way, we as a church, as a body of believers, are meant to gather together. We're meant to be reconnected, rejoined, and to be unified in heart and purpose. God tells Ezekiel in verse 9 to prophesy breath into the skeletons so they may live. Breath enters the bodies and they stand up and form an army. I'm not sure how many soldiers were in the army, but Scripture says it was an exceedingly great army. And the word exceed means to go beyond, to become bigger, to become larger. This passage is a prophetic vision of the coming together of Israel from weakness and defeat to an exceedingly great army. If God can do something so grand, so large and awesome, what could He do in and through you? Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the first female president in Africa, once said, "The size of your dreams must always exceed your current capacity to achieve them. If your dreams don't scare you, they probably aren't big enough." God's Spirit that enters the reformed bodies is proof that God would restore His people, not just physically, but spiritually. God's Spirit would breathe new life into a nation in need of restoration. Breath in the Bible has a creative element as it signifies life. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "God formed a man from dust, but there was no life until God breathed life into his nostrils." In the Gospel of John, Jesus appears before the disciples and commissions them by saying, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He then proceeds to breathe on them and declares, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is symbolized in the Bible as many different things, such as oil, water, and wind, among others. It isn't insignificant that when Jesus makes known the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in this passage, that He breathes on them. The breathing is commissioning, and the Holy Spirit is the enabling. In 2008, on the set of the Oprah Winfrey Show, magician David Blaine broke the world record by holding his breath underwater. After being submerged in water, the magician would not come up for a single breath for over 17 minutes. He did this with the help of inhaling pure oxygen prior to being submerged underwater. The world record for holding your breath without inhaling pure oxygen is 9 minutes. Either way, it's unbelievable. When you deprive your body of oxygen, it's only a matter of time before your carbon dioxide levels build, triggering a reflex that will cause your breathing muscles to spasm. The pain of these spasms is what causes most people to gulp for breath after just a couple of minutes. Israel's life depended on God's power and not their circumstances. Your life depends on God's power and not your circumstances. God wants to breathe new life into you. God wants to revive your spirit. When you take a deep breath, it has a biological effect. It promotes blood flow to the rest of your body. It also has a physiological effect. It calms nerves. It alleviates anxiety. It enhances attention span. It relieves pain. It calms your nerves before a sermon, too. This is who the Holy Spirit is. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit calms our nerves. It alleviates anxiety. God is the peace that surpasses all understanding. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The Holy Spirit empowers us to accomplish the purpose of God in our own lives. If we try to do life without the presence or enabling of the Holy Spirit, we are missing true life. It's like we are bones, flesh, and skin, yet still missing the breath of life. Verse 14 says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What part of your life needs God's empowering power and His presence? How do we catch our own breath in a world that barely allows us time to do so? God, only you know. I'm sure at some point you all have read or heard Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I read Psalm 23, I believe it can be summarized like this: all shall be well. When I read the Valley of Dry Bones, I believe it can be summarized like this: you shall live. The Valley of Dry Bones shows a flashback to the book of Genesis and God breathing into the dust to form Adam. Verse 5 says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. It also shows a flash forward to the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 12 says, I will open your graves and bring you up from them. Psalm 118:17 says, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Last week, Aaron showed a picture of Mackenzie's dislocated finger. The doctors tended to her injury. They had to reset it and restore it. Throughout Scripture, we see a God who seeks to reset, restore, renew, redeem, rescue, and resurrect. Not doing away with His creation, but reviving it. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." From raising up an army of dry bones to calling Lazarus from the grave to the promise of a coming resurrection of the dead, God's heart is to revive and bring strength to those that need it. The meaning behind the name Ezekiel is God strengthens. And Ezekiel lived up to that. He spoke words of love and hope and help. Maybe you need to hear those words today. Maybe your situation is dry and dusty. What in your heart needs to be revived? What about your relationships need to be restored? God is eager to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He's ready to bless you even during the hard times. Romans 8:11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." The Valley of Dry Bones is a story about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It's a story of hope. It's a story of promise. It's a story about God's people who have a future. Fun fact, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you. He wants to breathe in you and through you today. God wants to bring you out of your valley. He wants to show you what it's like to live a life full of His grace, His love, and His goodness. Let's stand. God, thank You for walking us through our valleys. Thank You that You never leave us. You are there with us every step of the way. And we know that there will be valleys, God. And we are grateful and we're thankful that You choose to be with us in the midst of that. So I pray today, as Your people leave here, that we remember that You're the one to turn to, and that life here on earth is not perfect. But You are, God, and that You choose to walk with us. You choose to be with us. You choose to resurrect us. You choose to restore us. And I pray You do that as we leave here today, God. I pray that our hearts are open to receive You and our hearts are ready to walk out of the valley that we might be in. God, we give you complete control of our lives. We invite you into everything that we do, and we know you have great things for us. We're so grateful that we get to choose to walk with you, and we choose that you are higher than anything that we know or and can see. So God, again, thank you for the many blessings that you show us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, God, and we'll continue to give you the praise. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great weekend.